about this gracious hospitality, being a gracious, hospitable church. And I'm going to come from the book of 1 Peter. And I'm going to just briefly review some things that I had said last week. How many like hosting events at their houses? Okay, a few. Okay, not many. This is really going to help you all today. You know, every year there's a flip-flop on who's going to host Thanksgiving, right? Or Christmas. And it takes gracious, hospitable people to do that. But also we need to be gracious, hospitable people to the unchurched and unsaved. Amen? And I was sharing with Brother Osby after Sunday school. It's funny because one of the points, in fact, the first point I'm going to share on, the Lord had reminded me to make these comments today about gracious hospitality and about prayer. You know, the early church, especially the apostles, they believed that Jesus was coming back like right away. Wouldn't that make a huge difference in the way that you and I lived if we caught that concept? Like, if we knew that Jesus was coming tomorrow, what would y'all be doing today? Folks be at the altar, crying out, asking for forgiveness, right? Right. Unfortunately, we don't live that way. Right. And he was saying that there are some key factors in us preparing for his coming and to be an hospitable church. And the first point that I wanted to share was this. And we went over it last Sunday, but it's this. Number one is don't panic, but pray. And it comes from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, the end of the world is coming soon. Man, I tell you what, if we believe that, there'd be no way in the world we'd go back home and sit inside our homes in our neighborhoods and be silent. We'd say something, amen, to one of our neighbors. It's like this, their house is on fire, right? And we see it on fire, but we don't ring their doorbell to let them know, man, your house is on fire. Get out. You're going to burn up. Let me say this. People's souls, bodies, spirits are on fire, right? And if they don't get Jesus, they're going to burn and go to hell. And I know we don't preach about that much anymore. This is real. But don't panic, pray. And there are a number of ways to pray. And in fact, what was discussed in Sunday school today, there's you can pray in your known tongue. My known tongue is English, right? But I can also pray in an unknown tongue. The benefit of that is, two, that I'm going to share is it builds me up. It edifies me. Right? And then the second one I'll share is this. Sometimes I just don't know what to pray. Have you ever been in a situation where you don't know what to pray? And the benefit of being able to pray in this unknown tongue is the Spirit of God can pray through you because you just don't know what to pray. Amen? What we don't do here is try to dominate a service with men and women who pray in other tongues publicly without an interpreter. Because then it gets confusing. Amen? And so Paul said, well, you pray in tongues, pray that you be an interpreter as well. Amen? Amen. As the Bible says in Corinthians, at the end of all this is going to be done away with. Because right now we're looking through this glass kind of dimly. We don't know. We don't really see clearly what's going on. And so we're not going to need healings anymore. We're not going to need a prophetic word anymore. Because we're going to have Jesus. Amen? And so when we pray, if you can pray in tongues, pray in your prayer closet. You pray just in your own known language in English, you pray. Amen? Allow the Spirit of God to pray through. But pray. Don't panic. Pray. In these very divisive times in which we live in, there is a temptation to worry and to fret. Amen? Sometimes my kids tell my wife, they say, Mom, stop looking at the news. But every afternoon, 4 o'clock, we watching the news. Wow, that's crazy. People are crazy. Amen? Because of sin. Right? Don't panic, but pray. You don't have it on the screen, but I want you to go with me. I do want to read this. It's Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. And verses 4 and 5. Acts chapter 12. Verses 4 and 5. And I'm going to read one other verse as well. Acts chapter 12. And I told the team, we're not going to put these verses up because I want you to get your Bibles out or your smartphones. If you have it, say amen. I'm going to read from the Amplified of Acts chapter 12. When he had seized Peter, this is Herod, he put him in prison, turning him over to 4 squads of soldiers for each to guard him in rotation throughout the night, planning after the Passover to bring him out before the people for execution. So it's like the government arrests me. So Peter was kept in prison. Watch this. But fervent and persistent prayer. Everyone say prayer. Prayer for him was being made to God by who? The church. Us. Right? And then I want to skip down to verse 12. When he realized what had happened, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many believers were gathered together and were praying continually, and had been praying. The Amplified says all night. Coming up as a young boy, we in our church, we had what was called these shut-ins. And who knows what a shut-in is? You were shut in. And you prayed all night. During these trying times, the world needs to see a group who is not upset or worried or overly concerned or nervous about what's going on in the world. What the world needs to see is the church praying. I know what happened. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to pray about it. Yes, 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 my son is homeless. He left home. He won't come back. He's strung out on drugs. Yes, that is true. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to pray. I'm not going to panic. Yes, it's crazy. I'm not going to panic. I'm going to pray. If we're going to be this inviting, hospitable, gracious church, the world needs to see a church that is not moved by the circumstances of the world. Tina made a comment today during the offering that she's no longer fully employed. She has 2 choices. She can worry or she can pray. Amen? You can't be doing both. right? You got to make a decision. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to worry about it. Let me tell you something. When you pray about it, it's like this. It's like you cast all that care and all that burden onto the Lord. I'm not sure about you, but I had a good daddy. Anybody had a good daddy when they were growing up? I had a good daddy. Man, I didn't trip on nothing. Right? Why do you think I didn't trip on anything? I had a good daddy. I tell you before, we went on vacations. I didn't cross in my mind whether we had gas money or not. It didn't cross in my mind if we had enough food to eat for the trip. When we were growing up in the 60s and traveling to Louisiana, we had these coolers, and we go to Safeway, and Safeway had a brand called the Cragmont brand back then. We have all these drinks back there. I'll just drink it to my heart's content. I wasn't tripping because I had a daddy. Amen? I want you to know something. You who are born again, believers of Jesus, you have a father. Amen? And better than your earthly dad. Don't trip, don't worry, don't get over it. No, just, I got a good daddy. I don't know what's going on, how it's going to work out, but I do know this, daddy's here. Amen? So don't panic, but pray. Amen? The world needs to see that. Point number two that I made last Sunday was don't hold grudges, but love others in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Don't hold grudges, all right, but love others. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. And I gave you this three-step process about, you know, don't be holding grudges, but love each other. And the first one was we deal with it, which means speaks to the truth. We offer forgiveness, and then we move on. Let me give you an example. James, come up here, James. Now, James and I, we've got an issue. Not in reality. So I hurt James real bad. I broke his confidence, right? And so, James, just tell me, say, Pastor, you hurt me, man.
Pastor, you hurt me, man.
Okay, so watch this. To deal with the grudge situation like this, you have to speak your truth to it. Don't go around and tell Gail, Pastor hurt me. Don't tell Cheryl, Pastor hurt me. Don't tell Donald, no. He needs to come to me and say, Pastor, you hurt me when you broke my confidence. Right? Okay. Then the next step is he has to say this, say, but Pastor, I forgive you.
Pastor, I forgive you.
Okay. All right. So you speak truth to it. You deal with it, right? You offer the forgiveness, right? Now, my response, say it again, I forgive you. I don't care, man, about your forgiveness or not. I don't care about you. That's on you, man. Sometimes when you offer the forgiveness, there is no gracious or kind response back. They may not want to accept it, your offer. They may think that they did nothing wrong, okay? All right? You can't control that. When you offer forgiveness, it does not guarantee that there's going to be reconciliation. All right? There's no guarantee. Your part is to address the issue. Don't walk around with a grudge, getting mad and angry about it. Go to the person and say, you hurt me. The world is looking for some type of truthful body, a group of people who will deal with truth and not, as I said last Sunday, don't post it on social media. You tweeting about it and Instagram about it and you saying it in a way that person know who you're talking about, but you don't want to deal with the person. And you letting 1,000 other people, stop, that's stupid. So what you do, you speak truth to the situation, you offer forgiveness, and the third point is you move on. So watch this. He offered me forgiveness, all right? I refused, right? So his job is now go walk away with your seat. He ain't going to beg me, right? Don't try to make it work. You address the issue, speak your truth to it, right? Offer forgiveness, and then move on. Tell your neighbor, move on. You still mad what they did to you back in high school. Move on, right? She took your boyfriend, so? Amen? He wasn't no good no way. He wasn't no good, Molly. You know he wasn't no good. He wasn't no good. He ain't got no job. Amen. Number three is this. Don't grumble when others need a place to stay. Be hospitable. And go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 9. 1 Peter 4 and verse 9. And it says here, in fact, let's read this together, shall we? Here we go. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. And that's some hard teaching right there. Amen? That's some hard teaching right there. Now, granted, during this time, there were not as many hotels or motels as they are today. All right? One of the ways the early church showed love was to be hospitable. The word hospitality means kindness shown to strangers. In Peter's day, there weren't as many hotels as there are today. So when people traveled and needed a place to stay, homes were used to provide rest and refuge. Now watch this. Since God's love has made the believers family, when believers came traveling through, all right, they were being welcomed as family, not just guests. So if you and I are related by blood, the blood of Jesus, then we are family. And I am called to be hospitable to you. Showing hospitality without grumbling. The Greek word here for grumbling means to mumble under your breath. I am to show hospitality without mumbling underneath my breath. So watch this. The next time, kids, your parents choose to host Thanksgiving or Christmas at your home, which equals to a lot of dishes to be washed. Amen? Do not grumble. Do not mumble underneath your breath. But look at it as an opportunity to demonstrate God's love to your relatives and guests. Showing hospitality without grumbling, okay? That's what we have to do. Instead of grumbling when you cook a meal or open your home up for a small group or even to have someone spend the night, look at it as an opportunity to show Christian love and promote the cause of Christ. In the New Testament times, hospitality typically meant housing and feeding travelers for 2 to 3 days with no expectation of payment in return. We say that we want to be social. We call it social media, but we really don't want to be social. I want to be social in the privacy of my own home. Amen? God forbid that you want to come over and visit. There was a time, not too long ago in my lifetime, that people could drop in. Yeah, they drop in. The doorbell rang. And there's a cousin. There's your friend. Amen. I remember one night your mom and dad came by the house and didn't call ahead. Just dropped in, sat in the living room and just talked and laughed and ate cake and just. Being hospitable is going to require us to come out of our comfort zone because we're not accustomed to being hospitable unless we plan it in advance. Don't we just drop it in? You better call first. Don't we drop it in? We have to be better than the world. Amen? Let me say this. Wherever God allows you to rest your head, your home, watch this. God gave that to you. God gave you that home. It is a tool to be used for his glory. Especially those of you who have been born again. There's no reason in the world you've been born again for you to be stingy and be inhospitable. No reason in the world. Here's another verse. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. What verse do I want? Acts chapter 10, verse 22. I'm going to start there. Acts chapter 10, verse 22. If you have it, say amen. Okay. I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, what happened is this guy Cornelius sent his group of people to go get Peter. Because an angel told him, go get Peter, because Peter's going to share some things with you. All right, verse 22 said, they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, well spoken of by all the Jewish people, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear what you have to say. I want to skip back to verse 5. Verse 5 says, now send men to Joppa and have them call for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter, and invite him here. He is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. Peter is staying in his own home or Simon's home? It's not a trick question. I read it again. He, Peter, verse 6, is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. Is Peter in his own home or Simon's home? Simon's home. So it's not even Peter's home, is it? Go to verse 23. So Peter invited them in and gave them lodging for the night. I'm not going to build a doctrine out of one verse. So don't think that I'm saying, okay, no, I'm not building a doctrine out of it. But I'm just saying how they were, yeah. Right? Yeah. Peter is like me staying at your house. And I'm telling Wayne, come on, spend the night, Wayne. That's how they did. Don't grumble when others need a place to stay. Be hospitable. The world is looking to see a gracious, hospitable group of people. Why not let them find them, that group of people, here with us? Amen? When we're in our semester of doing the small group, right? When we end and start the next small group in February, maybe you can allow your home to be used. Huh? Allow others to come in. God gave that home to you. How many here today, before you received that place that you live in, asked the Lord to give it to you? You know, you prayed, Lord, give me this. And the Lord did. Huh? He did. Use it for his glory. Amen. Number four. So we went, don't grumble when others need a place to stay. Number four is this. Don't ignore your gift. Use it to serve others. Don't ignore your gift, but use it to serve others. And I want to go back to 1 Peter chapter 4, and I believe in verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. And it says there, God has given each of you, point to your neighbor and say, you. If you are a born-again believer, you have been given a gift by God. Now, if you're not born again, okay. But if you're here today and you've been born again, meaning this, you have accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you've been given a gift. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. He has a variety of spiritual gifts. Each one has their own gift. Don't trip because your gift is not like your neighbor's gift. Huh? You don't know how many times I've thought about and prayed over. I don't think I fasted, but I've talked to the Lord about it. I want to be able to sing. I've told the Lord many times that I love to be able to sing. Watch this. But the Lord in his infinite wisdom. Y'all laugh, I'm trying to be serious. He knew that gift would probably puff me up. He knows us, right? And you've seen people who have that who are able to, and they're the tendency to get puffed up. Right? Yeah. So every born again believer has been given spiritual gifts. Now watch this. It says, use them well. Use them well to serve one another. Do not ignore your gift. Use it to serve others as we prepare for the Lord's return and become this gracious, hospitable church. It must include service. The Bible says, and this is what Jesus said, listen, I didn't come here to be served. I came here to serve. And so if the Lord came here not to be served, that needs to be our mindset as well. I've said this on a number of occasions. If you are not serving in the kingdom and you belong to the kingdom, you're not growing. I'm saying it again. If you are in the kingdom and you're not serving, you're not growing. As soon as your kids are able to do chores, give them chores. I'm saying it again. As soon as your kids are able to do chores, give them chores. Without giving them chores, they're not growing. They get to be 12 and 13 and 14, and a broom and dustpan is a foreign object to them. How do I use the broom? Can you hold the dustpan for me? Lay the broom on your shoulder. You know how to do it, right? But because you didn't give them the chore, they don't grow. And they get to be in high school, and they are pitiful. Amen? Working is foreign to them. God has given everyone who belongs to his family, born again believers, certain giftings. You have to use them in order to really grow yourself. God has entrusted to everyone a special anointing, a special gift, supernatural abilities to advance the kingdom. Not to make you look good. Using these gifts are an act, what's this, of stewardship. Okay? So I don't know where you're at in your spiritual walk, but if you're not using some gifting, if you're not serving somewhere in the kingdom, you're not growing. And watch this, you're not going to like it. God is not pleased with your actions. Go with me to Matthew chapter 25. And I'm going to read through these verses. Matthew 25. And we're going to start with verse 14. Okay, I'm going to read them through, all right? Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, divided it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with the 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But, everyone say but. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master is full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Wow. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Hold up for a minute. What do you think is going to happen? Watch this. The servant with the 1 bag, everyone say gift. or talent. The one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man. Excuse. Harvesting crops you didn't plant, another excuse. And gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid to misuse the gift you gave me. Watch this. Many today are gripped by fear and fearful of using the gift God has given them to use. All today who are perfect, raise your hand. None of us are perfect. All of us mess up from time to time as we operate within our giftings, right? We do something, we mess up. None of us are perfect. Do not let the fear of trying to be perfect prevent you from stepping out and operating in your gift. God knows you, and he is the one who has given it to you. You got to use it. If you're not using it, you're not growing. If you're not using it, you're not advancing the kingdom of God. What you're doing, you're not going to like this. You are sucking the energy and the anointing from other people, and you're not adding anything to the pot. I know you're going to like it. Huh? The world wants to see some group of people that are actually serving others. We receive tithes and offerings so we can send them back out. Huh? We receive money so we can send it back out. We create teams who will serve. If you want to serve at the homeless shelter, you can do that. If your gifting is cooking or hospitality, listen, we have a place for you. If you're not serving, you're not growing. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. The master represents who in this illustration? God. This is what the Lord says. This is what, if you're a born-again believer, you have a gift. If you choose not to use your gift, this is how God describes or defines you. You ready for this? You wicked and lazy servant. If you are in the body of Christ, and you are not serving in some capacity. Listen, you may be a great writer, and you can write encouraging notes to those who are sick and afflicted. Do that. You may have a talent for working with little kids, toddlers, right? We've got a nursery, right? Do that. Amen? You may have the gift of teaching, right? Do that. You may have a home that no one comes to but you and your own family. Open it up. If you are a believer and you're not serving, you're not growing. And the world's view of us would then be accurate. That all they want, they just want something. I want us to be a body of believers where we're giving something. Amen? That we're giving things to our schools. We're giving things to our community. Amen? We're serving the homeless. That we're not just receiving offerings. We're not just here in this holy huddle every Sunday, rah, 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 clap your hands and go back home. No, those days are over. If you are not serving, or if a group of believers are not serving, we then become no longer relevant. If you knew I had harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate. Do I have another verse? Yeah. Why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. You could have served at least once a year. Amen? Listen, if you have the gift of praying, then you ought to be praying for people. Amen? Sister Velma, we're looking for folks who have the gift of prayer. Some folks could just pray, right? We're all called to pray. But some folks, you know, they're just prayer warriors. Amen. They know how to intercede. If you're that type, see Sister Velma and join her prayer team. Right? If you're not serving, you're not growing. And what the Bible describes, God himself said that you are wicked and lazy. I know we don't get hard teaching like that. But it's the truth anyway. Amen. Use it to serve others. Peter, in this discourse here, was talking about those who have the gift of speaking or hospitality. But whatever your gift is, use it to serve others. My final point is this, about becoming this gracious, hospitable church. It's number five. It says this, don't seek personal gain, but give God the glory. I want to read it again. Don't seek personal gain, but give God the glory. I think Billy's being baptized today. Where is he at? Why don't you go and get yourself prepared, okay? You can exit to prepare. Don't seek personal gain, but give God the glory. It wasn't in my note yesterday, but I was reading this morning, and I wanted to add this to it. Go in your Bibles to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. And I know I've got you flipping around today quite a bit. And I told you before, if I get up here and start preaching over a period of time, and I never tell you to go to the Bible, what did I tell you to do? Grab your Bible and walk out. Don't stay in a place where the man or woman of God up here, or the man or woman up here, is talking about their own opinion. Amen? No. The Word of God. Acts chapter 12. Do you have it? I'm about to give you this verse right now. Here's the situation right here. This guy named Herod, right? He's the king of the Jews. Right? And so he's in town. He's giving a speech, right? And sometimes you can speak so well that the people just say, whoa, man, that guy's really speaking well. And they started doing this. And man, he speaks not just like a real man. But let me read this to you. Verse 22, I'm sorry. The assembled people kept shouting, "It is the voice of a God." And out of a man, it kept shouting, it implied this. They said it more than once. And so what this means is he had the opportunity to stop. No. I'm not a God. I'm just a man. Watch this. The implication is that he did not. Verse 23 says this. And at once an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory. And instead, the Amplified says, instead, permitted himself to be worshipped. and he was eaten by worms and died. Number five, don't seek personal gain, but give God the glory. Amen? Why do you do the things that you do? Whether it's sing, whether it's being this hospitable person, whether it's teaching, why do you do what you do? If it's only to receive praise for yourself, you've become an idol. We must bring glory to God. God must be glorified in all that we do. And let me caution people who stand behind this desk or who sing in any capacity. You come up here on stage, your heart better be right. Let me say this again. Your heart, don't rush up here and want to be a speaker. Huh? Don't rush up here. Because this is what God will do. He's done it. He's done it. God is funny too. He's done it. God will embarrass you. Your mind, you have everything written out. But you want to receive all the amens and feel, yeah, Pastor, Pastor, Pastor. You just hollering, knocking. Listen, God can wipe your mind clean. And you won't know the next word to say. And you be up there. Whatever you do, do it that God receives glory. When you pray over people, do it that God receives glory. Right? Oh, he can pray. Oh, she can pray. No, don't do. No. When you sing, sing for God's glory. When you preach or teach, do it for God's glory. All the honor, all the glory, all the praise goes to him. Amen? It may hit us, but needs to bounce off of us and go to him. Amen? So when people want to compliment you how well you do certain things, make sure you honor the Lord and let them know, glory to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen? For God will not share his honor and glory with anyone. Amen? You better be careful. And the world is tired of seeing this show. Huh? At times we may see it on a television program, certain show. I wish I had me a prop. I'm going to just tell you right here. I'm looking at this guy. I don't know his name, so. And he called himself. I need like a jacket or something. He called himself, I don't know what he called himself, but stand up. You stand up too, and you stand up. And he's going around, and as soon as he's swinging this thing, people just fall out, like fall out. Fall out. Watch this. And watch this. And not that the anointing can't do that. But if you will look at the expression and how it's being done, you notice God's not getting the glory. And let me say this. The anointing is strong enough to do it. Huh? The anointing is strong enough. Right? Don't misuse the anointing. Huh? And bring glory to yourself. The world's looking for real people who are gracious, who are hospitable, who don't hold grudges, right? Who love each other, who have a heart to serve, and never receive glory from themselves. Now the question is, are you that type? Gracious, hospitable, loving, never hold grudges, and always give glory to God, and always, are you that type of person? Stand to your feet. And Tanisha, why don't you make your way up here? And remember, right after service, we've got this baptism, this young girl who had given her life to the Lord Jesus. And we're going to experience seeing her with this commitment, this public commitment of her born-again experience. Are you that type of person, gracious, hospitable, don't hold grudges, loving and serving others, and give glory to God? Won't you pray?
That was a good word today, church. It's a the word of God is piercing, and iron sharpens iron. So we thank our pastor for that word, for letting the Holy Spirit dwell with him and to share that with us today. And I don't know about you all, but some of us do know our gifts, and with that comes a lot of responsibilities. And unfortunately, that's when the devil gets busy. But as my mother says, that's when God gets busier. So, church, I challenge us to stay steadfast in prayer during the week. Put on the armor of God. Lift each other up. Be that beacon, be that lighthouse at your job, in your homes, in your communities. You just want to pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for gathering us here today as a church family, helping us to receive your word. Help it to be carried out in our lives, Father God. Help us to minister to those around us that may be lost or just may not know you, Father God. Help it minister first to us so that we can do that ministry. We ask for traveling grace. We ask for a special blessing for those of our family and our church family that are sick and couldn't be here with us today, God. And we just ask that you be with us throughout our week, lift us up, help us to carry the load that we've been given. In Jesus' name, amen.